First of all, there are two truths you need to be aware of. One is, whatever you think your message is right now, it isn't. So that's the first truth. And the second truth is that someone else holds the keys to your compelling message.
Welcome to Better Conversations, Better Outcomes, presented by BMO Global Asset Management. I'm Ben Jones.
And I'm Matt Smith. In each episode, we'll explore topics relevant to today's trusted advisors, interviewing experts and investigating the world of wealth advising from every angle. We'll also provide actionable ideas designed to improve outcomes for advisors and their clients.
To learn more, visit us at bmogam.com/better conversations. Thanks for joining us.
The views expressed here are those of the participants and not those of BMO Global Asset Management, its affiliates, or subsidiaries.
An important part of this business is interacting with clients. Having a message that connects with people, that helps them understand what you do, why you do it, and why you're good at it is critical to building your business. Today on the show, we're talking to Jack Kramer, a consultant and founder of Kramer Associates. Jack works with broker-dealers, insurance companies, and other financial services companies to develop trainings to maximize the efforts of advisors, sales managers, and more.
Hi, I'm Jack Kramer at Kramer & Associates, and my role here is to connect our clients with some benchmarking data, with better ideas, and with some of their own best ideas, their own genius from their organization that we help bring to the front.
This is episode 4 of the Better Conversations podcast, and I want to take a moment to remind listeners that there are still a few days left to enter into our drawing if you're listening to this episode soon after it was released. We cover all the details on how to enter at the end of this episode. If you've already given us a review on iTunes, thank you for your review.
I had the opportunity to sit down with Jack and talk about how he helps advisors create more compelling messages about themselves and their firms, and how these messages can resonate with prospects and clients. Jack's been doing this for a long time, and he has some great systems that I believe can help people refine their messaging.
Before we dive into those systems, though, let's listen to Jack talk about why having a compelling message is so important for your business.
Why do I need a compelling message about myself and my firm?
Well, not to beat around the bush, I think it's about time and money. I think that the sooner you can put together your compelling message, the more time you're going to save yourself in the prospecting aspect of your business, the new business piece, and that will very directly result in more revenue for you and your firm. The sooner you figure that out and get it perfect, the less time you're going to waste, the more money you'll make. And then if I may, I'd like to suggest that it's not just a selfish thing to do. It's also for your clients, because I think the sooner that you're able to craft the message that resonates with prospects and clients, the sooner you're going to attract them, and so they'll get the benefit of your service, but also you're going to avoid working with clients who just don't fit your model. And at some point, you'll have to get rid of them, and that'll have been a wasted opportunity for both of you.
So that is really what it all comes down to. The systems you're going to hear about, how to create that message, it all comes back to why you need it in the first place. It saves you time and money and brings revenue into the business. And as an added bonus, it will also benefit your clients by making it easier to find and connect with you. Now it's time to get to the nitty-gritty of how to go about creating that message.
What does a good message or overview message sound like?
So I think you have to define what good is first, right? And so for me, I like to define good three ways. One is it has to get noticed. It has to rise above the din of all the messages out there. Two, once it's noticed, it has to be remembered. And three, it has to attract the right kind of clients. And so there aren't too many that I think that do all of those things. And one of them, and I won't use the name, but maybe it's obvious to those who've seen this ad before, but one of my favorites out there eschews all of the visual clues around having silver foxes seniors on the beach in white linen doing yoga, which I've never liked, and instead uses a highly graphic approach with this sort of driving rhythm, sort of pounding music and a sort of a classical bent. And then it has a growing column where it wraps it with words that are primarily benefit statements. So think about that for a second. No pictures of people and no spoken words, where every other ad, that's all it is, right? Pictures of happy people, senior citizens on the beach frolicking, and, you know, this sort of narration over. This is exactly the opposite. I think that's one of the reasons it stands above and has been very effective.
So, Jack, for our audience,
yes,
could you break this down into the steps, exactly what they would do or need to think about? Just walk me through the whole process. How do we create that compelling message?
All right, I'm going to give it to you straight. You ready? So, first of all, there are two truths you need to be aware of. One is, whatever you think your message is right now, it isn't. Then the second truth is that someone else holds the keys to your compelling message. I know that you're the reason for your business being as successful as it is, and that will always be the case. But when it comes to your message, someone else knows the key pieces, the heart of it, better than you do. And you'll know it. You'll sense it immediately when you hear it. But it's going to leave someone else's lips and reach your ears and resonate inside of you. And then you'll take it to the next step. So how do we get to this truth of what your message is? Well, you start with this sense of humility that you don't know the answer, and gratitude because someone else is going to give it to you. And you ask as many people as possible. You cast as wide a net as possible. And it goes from everyone across your firm to your clients, to your prospects, to your neighbors, to your friends, to your mentors, to your mentees. You don't not ask anybody because you just think they wouldn't do it. You ask them just because.
Sounds time consuming.
It is. I think it's more time consuming than you realize. I think it's harder than people realize. It's because people generally turn to you for answers. And now you're asking questions, turning to them for answers about something that should be the core of your business. It's really tough, but it is immensely rewarding. And it's the fastest way I know to get to a message that is uniquely yours and powerful in a way that, you know, only can be powerful for you.
Jack really drives home the importance of asking others for help with your message.
That was one of the steps that I found most interesting about Jack's process.
I think that's so true. Others have the advantage of being a little further away from the business and the message. They're removed from it, making it easier to better and more concisely describe what you do and how you do it.
Exactly. The next part is probably the most important piece of the process. Jack's five key components to creating a compelling message.
What are the components of a compelling story for an advisor?
Right. So there are five components, Ben, to a good, compelling message. I'm just going to list them for you and we can talk more about each of them in greater depth. But the first one is you got to explain what you do. Number two is to explain how you do what you do. Number three is simply why. Number four is making it real with an example. And then number five is make it personal.
So for an advisor who's creating a message for the first time, or maybe they're just throwing away their old message and starting over, what are some of the best practices that you would lay out for them in kind of executing those mechanics of creating the message and the five components of your story?
Ben, here's the test. If you've created a story in the past, but you still to this day don't tell it at every opportunity, if you don't look forward to telling the story, then you don't have a good story. At least not a good story for you. That's the test. You ought to have something that you love, that's about you, that you're proud of, and you're looking for opportunities to tell the story. So if you're not telling the story you've built so far, every chance you get, that's an opportunity to do a better story, to create a better story.
So it's kind of like you want people to have this grandchild syndrome where, you know, every time you meet someone who have grandchildren, they want to show you the pictures of their grandchildren.
That's beautiful. I am going to find a way to incorporate that new name. It's the grandfather syndrome. We want you to suffer from the grandfather. If you don't suffer, you're a bad grandparent. You're a bad business owner if you don't tell your message every time you get a chance.
Yeah, it's your business becomes a lot like your child or your grandchild.
Because it's a good message, a compelling message is not a pitch.
Correct.
It's not something where you should feel in any way, shape, or form that you're imposing on somebody. And you should be saying it with such belief in your eyes that they can't help themselves to pay attention and listen to what you're saying and smile at your enthusiasm for your story.
I want to backtrack to your five components, you know, because I know you said you tried to winnow it a bit to three, since you love three-part processes. But are there any must-haves in a compelling story? In other words, are there two of those components that are just absolute must-haves, or is there one thing that's just the must-have component?
You're asking me which of my children I love most. Short answer is no, right? I think you need to have all five of them to be an effective story. But if you forced me to pick one, I would make it the why of it. And it sort of goes back to where we started, and that is that feelings matter, and you want to give people the impression you're doing what you do for the right reasons. And so telling them why you do what you do will get you farther than just telling them what you do or how you do it. Telling them the why of what you're doing will at least buy you the time to and the audience to tell more of your story.
The important thing about why, to me, seems like that's a place where you really don't want to go down the marketing rabbit hole. It needs to be authentic. And it needs to be your authentic why, so that it not only resonates, but when you tell the story, it's not contrived.
True. You know, one of the truths about a good message is that it has to be true for you. And it has to be something that's spoken, you know, from deep down, and something you look people in the eyes directly and they could tell you really mean it. And if you can't do that, and at this point, step four, it becomes immediately obvious to anybody if you're telling someone else's story. That's why it has to be your story. In fact, I would skip step four if I didn't have a good story to tell.
And so when an advisor gets this right, what does it feel like for the end client?
You know, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I think it feels like puppy love. I think it feels like that first time that we've all had when you were a teenager, probably. That you felt that somebody understood who you are and what you felt. And it's the first time you said, somebody gets me.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up the somebody gets me. And in our archetype conversation, one of the pieces of research that, you know, was brought up during that conversation with Matt Smith was that the end clients, when they were asked why they chose their advisors, would say, they just get me.
Isn't it true? That's all I'm looking for. I want all the credentials and I want the confidence levels, but I really want you. I want to know that you get me.
Someone that understands you.
Someone that understands me. Right.
So let's just talk a little bit about your process and the way you think about creating stories. So, you know, for our audience, let's just shift gears for a minute. And, you know, when you think about the end client, and what it is that they're looking to get answered from an advisor that's kind of telling them for the first time about their firm or themselves. What are the questions that you think that the advisor actually needs to answer there?
If I can redirect you just for a second, Ben, there are some very specific answers that they are looking for. But more important than that, I think, is a feeling. Hence why I'm a fan of this ad earlier that spend so much time and energy on a feeling through the music and the visuals. I think they're looking for a feeling of confidence, of someone who gets them, of someone who's going to give them the answers. It's that feeling they want first, and then they want the answers.
And so how, you know, when our advisors are sitting across the conference room table or the kitchen room table, how would they instill that feeling of confidence?
That's a great question, Ben. So how do you instill that feeling? We're talking about feelings now, right? So it's not, to your earlier point, it's not about questions and answers or data. It's about feelings. And so I think we're playing on a different level here. And so it's everything from the look in your eye and how present you are with them and how attentively you're listening, the kind of questions you're asking. It's a different game altogether. It's a different level. It certainly isn't a game, but it's a whole different approach when you're trying to get them to get to that feeling. I think that's worth noting. I think we all know how to do that. This is sort of the emotional intelligence part of our business, which is difficult to put in words, but has been done so by some pretty smart people and some good books.
Yeah, the way I've heard it described is not only does your you know, you've got to have some components of your messages, which I'm sure you're going to tell us all about in a bit, but more than the components themselves, showing an intense curiosity about them as an individual and their financial aspirations. That's the way I've maybe heard it framed.
Curiosity. I think that's a, I might even go a little bit more soft and on you and say it's about showing you care. And I think we'll talk about this more in a little bit, but it comes back to the, you know, why are you in this business and why are you doing what you're doing? If you're doing it just for the money, I'm not, that doesn't make me happy or as proud. I want you to be people to be in this business to help other people because you care.
Hi there. It's Matt again. The grandchild syndrome is such a great way to describe how you should feel about your message. Your story should inspire you to get other people, prospects, and clients to feel the same passion for what you do and why you do it. Now, to get to something much more concrete, Jack's going to talk about the tools that can help you not only express your message, but also be remembered by prospects and clients.
Are there visual aids, or do you believe that there's a need for anything to make that story really tangible so that it really sets in and kind of has an impact and is remembered?
So I think that this is sort of dangerous territory, and a lot of people end up doing sort of either wasteful or just plain corny things, right? Putting your name on a pen isn't the worst thing, but I'm not sure it's particularly effective. So I would suggest there are three rules you should follow. One is you want to make it highly visual. So my favorite example of that is at a finals presentation in front of a group of people where you take one of the more important slides or two slides or three slides or one of the handouts from the presentation that you think is particularly important and you print it out at the local FedEx office in a 2-foot by 3-foot format, ask them to put it on foam core so it's stiff, and you put that on some tripods in the room. So it stays there, reinforces the message throughout the entire meeting. And when you leave and they say, do you want to take these with you? You say, no, you're welcome to keep them. So one, something visual like that in a world of where everything's technology, something like big oversized pieces of paper on form core work. Two, I think put their name on it. So on those same pieces, I would put their name on it. If I were meeting with a client in person over a kitchen table, I would put on the very front of the document, I would put their names on it as clear and as possible, as big as possible. I would even, I don't know why more people don't do this because it's easier than it seems, but why can't you put their picture on it? I might not put the picture of their kids or their dog, but let's put a picture of...
You don't want to take it too far.
You don't want to take it too far, and it's my nature at times, but you could put a picture of a husband and wife who the proposal is for on the cover, and it's going to be really difficult for them to throw that away. And if they're wondering what it is in that big stack of papers 3 months from now, they'll know immediately when they see the pictures. And the last piece is, if you can make it useful, anything that's useful to people will help them sort of keep it around. The goal is to make it difficult to throw it away.
You really want to toe the line with visual aids. You want them to be personal, but not over the top. You want them to be useful. And like Jack says, you want to make it hard for people to throw it away. So now that you've got your message and your aids figured out, what's next?
And so once they have this kind of message or what they think is the message, I think they might even feel like it is the message.
Yep.
What do they do with it then?
Good question, Ben. So I think it's pretty straightforward, but it requires a bit of restraint. And so I recommend that you repeat that message as close to verbatim as possible 25 times. Don't tinker with it. Just repeat it 25 times. And then by that 25th time, it should be... you'll own it and you'll know it well enough that you can pay attention to the feedback people are giving you and you'll see where the opportunities are to improve it.
So body language feedback?
Body language feedback, the look they give you in the eyes, the way they stand, whether they say yes or no, whether they lean forward or lean back, all of these things that we all know from our emotional intelligence education that we've learned, all matters. And then, don't start to make those decisions until you've done it 25 times.
Once an advisor has a message they've been using, they're charged about it, the firm's bought in, the rest of the people on their team at least are all telling a consistent message, how often should they consider, you know, refining or fine-tuning that message?
So I don't know if there's a specific time frame that necessitates refining your message, but I do think there are two circumstances. One is internal, one is external. So internally, if your firm is growing from a $50 million firm and now you're a $1 billion firm, that's probably a good time to take a look at your message. Things have probably changed enough that that would be time well spent.
So like, you know, when an advisor is an individual contributor running their own practice and they expand into maybe a team-based approach, would be a time to kind of build that story around the team or refine it a bit.
Excellent. Perfect. Yes. I think that's a great idea. And then the other one would be some sort of external factor. So maybe it's the new rules around the DOL fiduciary rule. Maybe it's something to do in your community where there's been some changes in the economic environment. Some sort of external factor might motivate you to take a new look at your compelling message.
There were some useful tips in today's episode, and Jack's process can help you create a message that gets you noticed, makes you memorable, and attracts the best clients for your business. For show notes and links from this episode, visit bmogam.com/betterconversations. That's bmogam.com/betterconversations.
As Matt mentioned earlier, we're holding a giveaway to reward some of our early supporters of the podcast. To enter the drawing, just leave a review in iTunes, and we'll randomly select usernames from the reviews and announce the winners on our show September 26th. If you're unfamiliar with leaving reviews, you can find a quick tutorial in the show notes with step-by-step instructions. Don't forget to subscribe after you've left your review, and be sure to tune into future episodes, especially September 26th, to see if you're a winner.
Thanks again to Jack Kramer for joining us on this episode. Many thanks to Jonah Geil-Neufeld and the Freedom Podcasting team, as well as our BMO GAM team, Pat Bordak, Gail Gibson, and Matt Perry.
Thanks for listening to Better Conversations, Better Outcomes. This podcast is presented by BMO Global Asset Management. To learn more about what BMO can do for you, go to bmogam.com/betterconversations.
We hope you found something of value in today's episode. And if you did, we encourage you to subscribe to the show and leave us a rating and review on iTunes. And of course, the greatest compliment of all is if you tell your friends and coworkers to tune in. Until next time, I'm Matt Smith.
And I'm Ben Jones. From all of us at BMO Global Asset Management, hoping you have a productive and wonderful week.
The views expressed here are those of the participants and not those of BMO Global Asset Management, its affiliates, or subsidiaries. This is not intended to serve as a complete analysis of every material fact regarding any company, industry, or security. This presentation may contain forward-looking statements. Investors are cautioned not to place undue reliance on such statements, as actual results could vary. This presentation is for general information purposes only and does not constitute investment advice and is not intended as an endorsement of any specific investment product or service. Individual investors should consult with an investment professional about their personal situation. Past performance is not indicative of future results. BMO Asset Management Corp is the investment advisor to the BMO Fund. BMO Investment Distributors, LLC, is the distributor. Member FINRA, SIPC. BMO Asset Management Corp. and BMO Investment Distributors are affiliated companies. Further information can be found at www.bmo.com.